Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hey, Tampa, this is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. We appreciate you spending your time with us here again this weekend, and I hope we got some great information so after you listen to the show, you can say, hey, that was great to know. We're heading into almost a year of doing this show. You can visit all our episodes online at www.thatisgoodtoknow.com. If you're interested in being a part of the show or you have something that you want to share that is good to know, you can just email me, jeff@stanislow.com. That's jeff@stanislow.com. So this weekend, we're going to talk a little bit more on the entertaining, always interesting, and always, controversial in some matters, world of Bitcoin. Our special guest joining us today is someone who is experienced in this space and can talk to us a lot about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and blockchain technologies and all this wonderful stuff that's coming up. I'd like to introduce Royce Pope, Royce with Helios Capital. Royce, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. Great to be here.
So, Royce, give it to me like I'm, I guess, maybe 15. I always say to give it to me like I'm 5, but I don't think the 5-year-olds could understand cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. So tell us a little bit about, Bitcoin's been around for, over a decade now. And, it's got a lot of hype in the media. It's got a lot of, wonderful things written about it. It's got a lot of negative things written about it. It is just one of those mystical things that I wanted to spend some time with our audience today to really understand, what Bitcoin is. And then, how does it work? What do people do with it? And all that great stuff. So let's start with the 10-cent tour of what is Bitcoin.
Sure. So, there's two aspects to start off with. The first one is just to understand that Bitcoin is a digital currency, right? That's all it is. It's like you open up your bank app on your phone and you see that you have $1,000 in your bank account. That's digital money, right? And those are US dollars in your bank account, but that is digital money. Bitcoin is just another currency that is digital. So you have a Bitcoin wallet, you can open it up, you can see how much Bitcoin you have, you can buy, you can execute transactions, you can send people Bitcoin, people can send Bitcoin to you. And it works very much like a digital currency in that way. And so to really understand what it is, you kind of have to understand what a blockchain is, and then you go from there. So Bitcoin is the first application of blockchain technology, and all a blockchain is it's a digital ledger. So it's the very same thing as you go online, you log into your bank, and you see that, you paid $5 for coffee on this day, and you paid $150 for your car insurance on this day, and then your job sent you your paycheck for this whatever amount on this day, and you have all your transactions listed in your bank statements. That's what a blockchain is. It's a digital ledger of transactions. And Bitcoin has its own ledger. So the Bitcoin blockchain logs all of the transactions that have been done using Bitcoin since the beginning of Bitcoin back in 2009 in January. It really is that simple. I know, people can get bogged down in the tech jargon and all that stuff, but on a surface level, that's all it is. It's a digital ledger. Bitcoin is a digital currency that runs on a digital ledger.
Well, that's a really good way of explaining it, Royce. We're talking with Royce Pope, founder of Helios Capital. Just understanding. So similar to like your bank account, you have fiat money in your bank account online. You buy things, you make and you receive things, credits and debits. But your bank handles kind of like the ledger and communicates back and forth your kind of personal ledger. And on with Bitcoin, you know, how does the ledger work? Where does it sit? Who validates the ledger? What's some, you know, why wouldn't I just, you know, if I had my own ledger, you know, say I had $1 million of Bitcoin in there, and, you know, talk to us a little bit about that and how that works in, you know, kind of a layman's mind, so they better understand, you know, the, I guess, blockchain ledger.
Yeah, perfect. So when it comes to your bank is an institution, and they have their own, they have their central data hubs, right? And they're tracking all of the transactions that go through all of their applications. Any bank transactions, any checks that are deposited or written and then given to somebody else, any transactions, all of those things are digitally recorded and tracked by that central institution, the bank. And each bank has their own ledger, of course. So you can very much think about it in the same way when it comes to Bitcoin, except it's a decentralized ledger instead of a centralized ledger. So all that means is, instead of there being an institution or a central authority that tracks everything and organizes all the data, there's many, many, many different computers that are independent of each other, but also interconnected, that are all tracking the ledger and then verifying the transactions amongst each other. So if there's, you can think about it like, if there's a spreadsheet and it's just listing all these transactions, say you have a Google spreadsheet and you're logging the transactions, there's either one central spreadsheet that is the master spreadsheet, that's, this is all of the correct values of the transactions, or you could have many, many, many different spreadsheets in many, many different locations that are verifying and making sure that their spreadsheet is correct. So it's just the main difference is it's a decentralized way of creating a ledger versus a centralized way of creating a ledger.
So if I was to kind of take that into trying to, you know, put it in my terms and how I would think about it, it's like taking these credits and debits and putting it on a spreadsheet, and then taking that spreadsheet and distributing it across the internet for other people to, you know, validate that spreadsheet. And, you know, these, what they call, nodes in blockchains. So you upload your spreadsheet, yep, and millions of computers look at it and say, this is correct. Is that kind of my understanding? That's what someone explained it to me before. This is Jeff Stanislow, yep, your host of That Is Good to Know. We're talking with Royce Pope from Helios Capital. He is talking a little bit about Bitcoin and how it works. And so we kind of understand, in summary here quick, like, you know, Bitcoin is a digital currency. It's a store of value. And it works like debits and credits on a spreadsheet, but those debits and credits are actually distributed across the internet, where computers, instead of institutions, validate all the information and make sure it's clear. Is that a good synopsis?
Yep. On a basic level, that's very accurate. Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So we got that first chapter done on like kind of what is Bitcoin. Let's take a next step into like what, you know, what can you do with Bitcoin? You know, everybody's like, well, what do you do with it? You know, okay, I got, you know, I got a Bitcoin, or I got a, you know, several Bitcoin or a lot of Bitcoin, or I have a, you know, a 0.05% of Bitcoin, but what do people do with it?
Yeah, sure. So the point of Bitcoin is, like you said, it's to be a store of value, and you can spend it and you can receive payments in it. But the point is to be able to store your wealth in a way that is immutable, indestructible, And it can't be tampered with in any way. That's the advantage of having a digital asset versus a physical asset. So you could just do a comparison with, you know, if you bought $1 million of gold or $1 million of Bitcoin, what are the pros and cons of doing that? With gold, you know, you've got to find a physical place to store that gold, and you've got to actually have someone who's willing to sell you that amount of gold. Gold is less accessible because it's a physical thing. You have to actually find it in the physical world. You know, there's notable cases of people not being able to fill orders of gold, because, the supply isn't available at that time or whatnot. Bitcoin is very accessible. Anybody can just download an app on their phone and buy $1 or $1 million of Bitcoin. So it's more accessible. It's more portable. Like I said, you have to find a place to store that gold. And if you have to move the gold, it's very expensive and very laborious to move $1 million of gold. To move $1 million of Bitcoin, you just tap a couple buttons and you can send it from here to Singapore in 5 seconds for the cost of, you know, a few dollars for the cost of a coffee. It's not going to cost the cost of a coffee to move $1 million of gold from here to Singapore. I can tell you that. And it's also much more portable. You could hop on a plane and go from here to Singapore with your Bitcoin in your pocket. And no one would know you have it. And you can just transport it that way. It's much more portable. Another advantage of Bitcoin over gold is that, in economics, the term is called elasticity. So, there's supply elasticity, which means that the supply of an asset is tied to the demand of an asset. So in most cases, in every asset that we know of until Bitcoin, if the demand for an asset goes up, which means people are wanting to buy it, and the price is going up because people are buying it, the supply is also going to go up because it's now profitable to produce that asset. So with the example of gold, gold's price is going up, up, up. People want to buy gold. They want to buy gold. Every gold miner on the planet is going to start mining more gold, which is going to increase the supply. With Bitcoin, when the price is going up and people want to buy Bitcoin, there's no more Bitcoin because of the rules of the blockchain, because of the code of the blockchain. One of the rules of the blockchain for Bitcoin is there's an absolute max supply of 21 million coins, and no one can generate or create any more Bitcoin above that number. The other advantage I would say is that Bitcoin is indestructible. If you have gold in a vault somewhere and then a war breaks out, or a category 5 hurricane passes through, you know, you're going to have to pray for that gold to be accessible to you. But, you know, a category 5 hurricane can't destroy Bitcoin, and a war can't affect Bitcoin. And it's indestructible in that way. So, it's just a much better way of storing wealth for many reasons.
And it's interesting you brought that up. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host of That Is Good to Know. www.thatisgoodtoknow.com is where you can find more information out. If you have something that share and you're interested in being on the show, feel free to send an email, jeff@stanislow.com, jeff@stanislow.com. We'll take a look and see if we can't get you on the air. This segment is brought to you by our friends, Dan Austin from Faithful Delivery Services. If you need something shipped, transported, delivered in the Tampa Bay area, same or next day for less than Brown or Blue, just do a quick Google search, Dan Austin, Faithful Delivery Services, and tell them that Jeff Stanislow from That Is Good to Know sent you. Back to our conversation here about Bitcoin and really understanding some of the fundamentals. You know, you have a lot of, people that like Bitcoin, and a lot of people that don't. Why is it so polarizing? You know, you know, why do some people just love it and they call them what, Bitcoin maxis or extremists or, you know, or what have you. And then you have people that are just so anti-Bitcoin. You know, what is the most polarizing effect? And, you know, why do you have, you know, so many people in these different camps?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I mean, I can't claim to know the absolute answer to that. But, you know, I think there's a few different reasons that it could be that way. I think some of the reason why Bitcoin is so popular amongst some people is because of the massive economic problems we're experiencing, especially now. But these, you know, the signs were there 10, 20 years ago, but we're really just now starting to see in the last few years the horrific effects of the ability for the money to be printed by a central authority, and for the money to be backed by nothing of value, and those types of things. You know, I saw a rent versus income statistic from 1990 until now, and or in the 1980s until now, and you know, rent is just on an absolute skyrocket of, there's no pullbacks. Rent is just up all the way from the 1980s. And meanwhile, the average income is pretty much stagnant since the late 80s. So people are now starting to realize the horrific effects of Keynesian economics, which means that you have to have an expanding credit market and you have to have inflation in order to grow the economy. And Bitcoin is a currency that cannot be printed, cannot be devalued in that way. It's not controlled by a centralized authority. And really, there's a lot of people in my generation. I'm only 25 years old. The average house is about 500 grand now, but the average income is the same as back when the average house cost 150,000. So housing is completely unaffordable for the average person now. Groceries are going sky high. And, you know, very smart economists were predicting this was going to happen. And it really comes down to the money and the ability for the money supply to be inflated. So I think that's why a lot of people love Bitcoin, is because they see it as the cure for the root cause of a lot of the problems in the economy that we're seeing across the Western world. And in terms of the people who hate it or who are vehemently against it, I mean, maybe I am, of course, biased because I'm a fan of Bitcoin. But one possible explanation is they don't understand the economy or the problems that are occurring with the economy. Another possible explanation is they're very against. They just don't. You know, just the type of person that they are, they don't really understand how something digital can be valuable.
Yeah, I can hear you on that. And this is kind of one of the reasons why we're having on. We're talking with Royce Pope from Helios Capital. You can check out his website, heliosxcapital.com. Royce, if someone wanted to reach out to you, it's just royce@heliosxcapital.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I think you bring it up. I mean, you covered why people like it and why people don't like it pretty well with softening the edges. And I think a lot of it is, you know, people want to control things, right? Governments, institutions, nations, yeah. They want to control things. And Bitcoin is something that they just can't control. In essence, it's immutable. It's they can't print more Bitcoin because it's a finite scarcity commodity. And that kind of scares them. It scares a lot of people, you know, not only just, you know, government people or people in power, but it empowers right. The person that holds the Bitcoin. Would you agree with that?
100%, 100%. I would agree with that. When you have lots of power, the only thing you're afraid of is losing your power. And these people at the very, very top of the financial game, they have controlled the economy for decades. Ever since the US dollar came off the gold standard, which gave the central bank of the United States unlimited printing power over the world's strongest currency, which is basically the power of a god, if that exists on Earth, because you can create unlimited money of the strongest currency, and which means you can buy anything you want, you can bribe anyone you want, you can do anything. That power is under threat. And of course they don't like it. And that's why you see something like the Bitcoin ETFs being created earlier this year. The Bitcoin ETF is a scam designed to prevent you from actually owning your Bitcoin. So if you buy the Bitcoin ETF, you don't own anything. You don't have anything. They have the Bitcoin. And then they just give you a certificate, or they show you a number on a screen that says you have Bitcoin, but they actually own the Bitcoin, and they will not hesitate to not give you the Bitcoin. If they won't give it to you, they will only give you an IOU. So the whole point of Bitcoin is for the individual to be empowered over their own money and their economic ability to exercise their freedom, and to hold their own Bitcoin. So,
okay. Again, Jeff Stanislow, that is good to know. Hopefully, Tampa, that you're enjoying listening to our show and learning more about, you know, Bitcoin and the power of it. We got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about acquiring Bitcoin. You know, someone doesn't have it, doesn't know how to get it. You know, what are a couple of the things that they would you would recommend? How does one get it? Do they just go to the bank and say, you know, hey, I got $500 and I want to get 500 Bitcoin? And then maybe talk to them how you might be able to help them as well if they got any questions.
Yeah, sure. It depends on how much you want to buy. So anybody can buy a couple thousand dollars worth of Bitcoin in a week. But anything above that, so all you would do in order to do that is you could download Cash App. You can buy Bitcoin on Cash App. You just connect your bank and click Bitcoin, and then you can buy it. You can buy it on Coinbase. You can buy it on any of these exchanges, but those are the two primary ones in the U.S. That people would use to buy Bitcoin. But then if you wanted to buy $100,000 of Bitcoin or $1 million of Bitcoin, you're going to need an institutional partnership in order to make a bulk purchase like that. And so that's where someone like me would come in. I have an institutional partnership where I can perform a brokerage service for somebody who wants to buy a large amount of Bitcoin like that. So again, you can reach out to me, Royce@HeliosXCapital.com via email if that's something you would want to do. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. In order to acquire it.
Royce, I know I wanted to talk with you about some pivots in the, you know, what's going on and what people are utilizing Bitcoin, and, you know, kind of compare, like, you know, Bitcoin and underlying theme of, you know, real world assets. And then this kind of convergence of this digital asset, digital economy, you know, and the real world, and how digitizing of these real world assets may look in the future. I'd love to have you come back for a second half on this show. Would that be good for you?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Fantastic. Tune in for the second half with Royce Pope, founder of HeliosXCapital.com, talking Bitcoin and a lot of things more. Again, thanks. This is Jeff Stanislaw, your host of That Is Good to Know. Thank you, Tampa.